Nice to catch up with Shane Battier. Shane, of course, going into his 12th NBA season, a forward for the Miami Heat, and with a big smile on his face because he picked up his first NBA championship ring with the Heat winning over the Thunder, of course. Shane, when you were playing with other teams in the NBA and had a chance to look at the Miami Heat, particularly in the couple of years before you joined that team, what is it that you saw as an outsider, and how did it compare with what you found when you were an insider on the team?
Well, I think as soon as they signed the big three, I think my perception of the team was probably the same as everybody else's, that it was an absolute circus, a zoo, a sideshow, and basketball was a small byline of the season. And, to be frank, it was completely opposite. It was as normal and as crazy and as dysfunctional as every single team I've ever played on in the NBA in my 11 years. So that was very comforting. But it's a really good team, a team of really good guys and workers and guys who wanted to do big things. And so that's a team I wanted to be a part of.
You know, a lot of people talk about having talent on a team, and obviously that is important, but obviously the chemistry of how the talent fits together is as important, I think. Now, the last time I looked, Shane, they still play the game with one basketball, and you've got a lot of talent on that team. Tell me a little bit about how the chemistry came together on that team this season.
Our team was an interesting team. If you look at every single player on the roster, they sacrificed either money or years or playing time or points to be with the Miami Heat. And so going forward, that was our battle cry, which is very rare and unique in any professional sports. And so we already had a spirit of sacrifice. So we were there to win, and it didn't matter who was getting the limelight. Obviously, with LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, they were going to get the lion's share of the fanfare, and deservedly so. But we were there to win, and we were all in, as they say. And it didn't matter what happened, what our reputations were. We were there to do what it took to win an NBA championship, and it paid off.
How did you approach going on to that team with so much talent? Now, you were a veteran, so, I mean, you'd already established yourself in the league, but were you tested in any particular degree, or how did you make yourself fit in?
It was a tough year for me personally, to be honest with you. It was across the board. I had career low numbers and points and rebounds and shooting, and I caught a lot of flack from local media and national media, and the whispers of Battier's too old and he's on the downslope were things that I heard. But I was really proud that I stayed the course. I maintained the things I had always done my entire career, and when it counted the most in the playoffs, I was there and played a pivotal role, and I'm proud to say I helped my team win the championship.
I would assume that part of that was the fact that they can't take shots at the big guys, if you know what I mean, that they had to find somebody to pick at, and so therefore, if you weren't putting up the numbers that you'd put up other places, that they were going to pick on Shane Battier. Am I correct in that observation?
For my career, my game's never been predicated on numbers or stats. If it were, I'd been out of the league a long time ago. And so I'd always prided myself on just being a good a teammate and making the right play, making the hustle play, making the timely play. And so I really fell back on what I'd done really my entire career to make myself an important part of every team I've played on. And so for a younger guy, I probably would have gone a little stir crazy, but being an old fart that I was and comfortable in who I am, it didn't bother me as much.
I see you've signed up for AARP already.
Hey, great discounts.
Let me ask you about the course of the season. Obviously, during the course of any season for any team, there are, you know, key pivotal moments. For the Miami Heat, what were they during the course of the season?
We had our share of adversity. We had our fair share of adversity, and we had it seemed like whenever we lost two in a row or LeBron passed up a game-winning shot that we ended up losing because someone else missed a shot, the scrutiny was pretty thick, and we felt it. And we did a pretty good job of turning off the sports talk radio and putting the newspapers away. But just the scrutiny and the second guessing over everything that we did, from Coach Spoelstra to Pat Riley to the players, it forged us. It really did. And we knew the only opinions that mattered were those of the people in the locker room and the people that were there on a day-to-day basis. And when we got to the playoffs, we played some really, really good teams. We faced adversities with injuries and with just really good teams. But we were so forged and battle-tested. I think that was the difference in each one of those series.
You've had a chance to now play with LeBron. You played against him, of course, when you were with other teams. But what is it you see and appreciate about his game that maybe is a little bit different than when you were a competitor against him?
Well, LeBron's knowledge of the game and his feel of the game is vastly underrated. Everyone obviously talks about his physical skills and his ability to run and jump and make physical plays that are breathtaking, that no one else in the game can make. But he really has a great feel for the game. He thinks like a coach. He understands spacing. He understands angles. He understands really how to attack defenses. And if he wants to, I think LeBron will be a very good coach someday because he has that sort of mind.
You mentioned about him giving up a shot to somebody else and maybe losing a game, and I did see that a couple of times during the course of the season. What is the mind thought to do that? Because he is the go-to guy. Is he more oriented toward the team that sometimes he'll say, I'll give somebody else the chance who has a better chance of maybe making the shot? What's his mindset?
Well, I think that's a direct result of the Twitter, Facebook generation that we live in. We want our white guys to wear a white hat and our bad guys to wear a black hat. And if you're a superstar, you should act a certain way and talk a certain way. But that's not how sports works. If you play sports, especially at the professional level, it's about making winning plays. And it's about making the right play. And there wasn't a time I can remember really this past year that LeBron made the wrong play. If he's double teamed or doesn't have a good look, he's going to find the open man, and he has the trust in his teammates to make the shot and take the shot, and that's what makes him special. There have been a lot of guys in history who felt they'd have to take the last shot and, frankly, haven't made a high percentage, but that's what they feel that they should do, and they're actually hurting their team. LeBron's always going to make the right play for the best of the team.
Miami has taken the big steps before and made the finals, but this time they went all the way. What was the attitude in the locker room and the approach to that championship series like?
Well, obviously the team had felt a lot of pain from the year before, really, really letting that series go to Dallas. And so there's a lot of pain, and it was a long road back for the guys who were on that team last year to get back to the finals. Once we got to the finals, we said, hey, there's nothing that's going to stop us, nothing. And Oklahoma City was an amazing team, and obviously with Durant and Westbrook and Harden and Ibaka, very, very talented. But just after everything that the team had been through, the scrutiny, being battle-tested, the adversity that they'd faced, really nothing was going to stop us. And there was it really just came down to sheer will and mindset to bring home the championship.
The other two big players, Chris Bosh and also Dwayne Wade, tell me a little bit about how they've all been able to get along with LeBron and even the other two players that are on the floor when they're on the floor as well, because I'm just fascinated by that chemistry with that much talent, how it all works. Give me some insight on that, Shane.
Well, it starts with our three best players, Chris, Dwayne, and LeBron. They're all really unselfish players, and they have a million all-star appearances between them and scoring titles and everything else. And Dwayne won a championship in 06, but the one thing everyone wanted was a championship. And when you have that spirit of sacrifice for a common goal, a championship, you just find a way to make it work. And it took us a little while to find our stride, but once we did and understood who we were and how we were best, the talent of those three guys really, really shone through. And I think that's a testament also to Eric Spoelstra. Coach Spo did a great job of melding the talent.
One of the things that I mentioned a little bit earlier was that you had a great championship series. I mean, you scored in double figures. You shot 57% from the three-point range. Was there something about that series, the way the matchups were, or just the way you were used that allowed you to feel comfortable and have that type of championship series?
You know, I was so bad from three-point land for the entire season, shot a career low of 33%. And in the Indiana Pacers series, I had games of 0 for 8, 0 for 6. And I was getting really crushed by the local media, national media, fans were on me. It really, honestly, got to a point where I was detached from the situation. I said, how much worse can I really be? I'm just going to play, have fun, let it fly. If I get my shot, take it, and not really worry about the consequences. And it's an amazing thing when you detach yourself from results. And that was really the only difference. I played free. I didn't really care about the result, make or miss. I was going to take my shot because it's something I've practiced my entire life and had the confidence in. And when you make a feel, you feel a little better. And I just got on a roll. And so if nothing else, Ron, it proved to me it's better to be timely than good.
I mentioned about you going into your 12th year, and now that you do have that championship ring and you've accomplished that, how do you look upon the rest of your career? What will be the motivational things for Shane Battier?
You know, honestly, my life doesn't change. I'm going to wake up, I'm going to do the best I can every single day, and try to do it the right way. I'm going to make mistakes, I'm going to have successes, I'm going to have failures, but I'm going to try to just get better every single day and try to do it again. And that's been my formula since day one. And you know, I'm not any more special. I'm not any more intelligent. I may be a little more handsome as I get older. But you know, other than that, I'm still the same guy. Going to work to grind to stay in this league and try to win a few more championships.
What is it that Ray Allen brings to the team that they didn't have maybe before?
Well, I mean, talking about the best three-point shooter in NBA history, just the guy who can space the floor and just create so much more space for LeBron, Dwayne, and Chris, because you have to pay attention to Ray Allen. You just have to. And we learned that firsthand in the Boston series last year. And so he's a guy who wants to win. He's also ready to sacrifice. He sacrificed money and years to come to Miami to win another title. And so you know, just his savvy leadership and veteran presence are going to do nothing but add to our team.
You have to explain something to me. I'm reading something in front of me, and it says Battier was recently chosen as the 7th smartest professional athlete by Sporting News. Have you figured out who the other 6 are?
There's a lot more than that, Ron. I mean, let me tell you, hey, I don't know who came up with that poll, but, you know, obviously the pool of applicants wasn't that deep. But that's a pretty esteemed group that I was named a part of. But I've always maintained I'm just a grinder, a guy who works really hard, and nothing else. I have common sense, and that's served me well for these 12 years.
We only have a couple minutes left, but one of the things I've always respected and appreciated about you, Shane, I mean, you joined me when I was over in Iraq doing the show over there, and I remember some of the soldiers afterwards telling me how much they just were surprised by how approachable you were when you joined us with the questions and everything. And you have a good balance about you. You understand that there's a personal life and there's a professional life as well. Where do those seeds come from for that understanding?
Well, my parents. My parents have always kept me grounded. I'm just a middle-class kid from Detroit, Michigan. My dad worked in the auto industry for 40, 50 years. And I understand that I'm very blessed to play basketball, and God willing, I have a few more years to play. But it's not who I am. Who I am is just a good guy, a guy who tries to do the right thing, treat people with respect, and treat myself with respect, and have a few laughs along the ways, and enjoy the ride. And that's something I feel very strongly. Just because I play basketball doesn't make me any different from anybody else. I just have to be tall and I can throw a little orange ball through a hoop that's 10 feet off the ground. But it's about making connections, being a part of community, and then helping others when you can.
Shane, I want to thank you very much. I always enjoy our conversations because I think not only myself, but everybody that listens around the world comes away with a feeling about you as a person, not just as a basketball player. And I think we both know in the final analysis that's really what is important. Shane, thank you very much, my friend, and we'll keep in touch.
All right, Ron. Take care. Thank you for having me.
Right. Shane Battier with us going into his 12th year in the NBA, and he already has that championship ring. He got that last season with the Miami Heat as they won the NBA championship. And before that, he played 5 seasons with the Memphis Grizzlies and also 6 seasons with the Houston Rockets, coming out of Duke, where he was the player of the year. We've got you on America's Sports Talk Show.